morning, everyone. While you're having your face mask on, just turn to your neighbor and give them a smile, okay? I do not know how you can do that, but the eye can tell that you are smiling, okay? If you have your Bible, I'd like you to turn with me to John chapter 9 this morning. John chapter 9, again, as I always do, bring your hard copy Bible to church, okay, as we look at the Bible together. And here we get to answer one question that many Christian and even non-Christian have asked at one time or another: does sin cause suffering? So let's look at John chapter 9, looking at verses 1 and 2 as an introduction. John chapter 9, looking at verses 1 and 2. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. The disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Let's pray. Father, we pray that you will speak to us your word this morning. Help us to concentrate and help us to be still to hear from you this morning. Open our eyes that we may see, open our ears that we may hear word that is from above. And the Lord, that you will teach us not just be hearers of your word alone, but Lord, that we may be doers of your word. We commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. As Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciple asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" What do you think? Was the man blind because of his sin? Or was the man blind because of his parents? And the answer is here. And this is not from me, this is not from Deacon Bruce, it's found in verse 3. It says, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life." Neither this man nor his parents sinned. And the answer is so clear and so straightforward. Not because of his sin, not because of his parents' sin. And Jesus did not even say, "I think so," or "it depends." It is neither. Neither this man nor his parents sin. So let us be clear about this. Sin is not always the direct cause of suffering. Yes, sometimes our suffering is directly caused by our sin. And we saw that earlier in John chapter 5 verse 14 when Jesus said to the adulterous woman, "See, you are well again, stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." And today we hear many wrong statements. People, Christian and even non-Christian, to make about suffering, and they say, if you are suffering, you must have sin. If you have cancer, you must have sin. Now, brothers and sisters, we don't live in a simple world in which good things always happen to good people and bad things always happen to bad people. And very often we ask why the wicked get richer, or why good things always happen to them. Why a mother sentenced to 14 months in jail for stealing Milo packets and stealing billions of worth get royal treatment? You know, what is the moral of this story? Better to steal billions, not Milo's. You know, last year during the pandemic, I called up a couple in our Chinese congregation in the main church to ask how things with them. And the wife was very reluctant to tell me something. And she told me on the phone, "Pastor, I don't know whether I should tell you or not." And I had to tell her, "It's okay. You don't have to tell me if you don't want to." And again, she said, "I don't know whether I should tell you." And I had to tell her, "It's okay if you don't want to tell me." And after a long, long struggle, she finally told me, I still remember, she said, "Pastor, please don't tell anyone. Nobody knows about this." And I said, "Okay." And she paused again. And she paused again, and after a while, she said again, I don't know whether I should tell you this. And then I said to her again, if you don't want to tell me, it's okay. And then finally, she said, my husband got COVID. And now I don't have to read her mind. She is so fearful that people would judge her and her husband. She is so scared that people would think that they are sinful or bad, and that's the reason why the husband got COVID. No, by the way, I got COVID too. Pastor John also got COVID too, few months back. All of us in my family at the same time, started with my mate, and then Calvin, my second son, then JC, my granddaughter, my mom, 87 years old, my sister, Alvin, Sue Ann, Grace, and I also tested COVID positive on a Sunday morning. No, thank the Lord that most of us do not have any major symptom. In fact, I actually have no symptom at all. And if I have not done the test, I would not even know that I got COVID positive. Is it because we are all sinful? Is it because Pastor John is sinful, or Pastor John's family, all of us are sinful? Yes, I want to say this to you. We are sinners, but I don't believe that we all have COVID because of that. Or people say, if you are suffering, you don't have enough faith. You know, if you are sick, you don't have enough faith. If you are poor, you don't have enough faith. Have you heard that before? If you have faith, you should be blessed. No, you should be driving a BMW or Mercedes-Benz and live in a big bungalow with many maids and drivers to serve you. No, Pastor John don't have a Mercedes-Benz or BMW. I don't live in a big bungalow, and I don't even have a driver to serve me. So is it because I do not have faith? So please, we must get our theology right. So let's come back straight to this story here. Skipping down to verse 6, John chapter 9, verse 6. Look at your text. I have to read through this long passage so that you understand the story. And if you have the hard copy, follow along. If you do not have, then look up on the screen. Okay, John chapter 9, looking at verse 6. Having said this, he spit on the ground, mixed some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. And this word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbor and those who have formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? And some claim that he was. Others say, no, he only looks like him, but he himself insisted, I am the man. How then were your eyes open? They demanded. Verse 11. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, so I went and washed, and then I could see. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been born blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Verse 16. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner do such miraculous signs? So they were divided. And finally, they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. And the man replied, he is a prophet. The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son? They asked. Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? Verse 20. We know he's our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him, he's of age, he will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. And that was why his parents said, he is of age, ask him. Verse 24. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God. They said, we know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I've told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they heard insult at him and said, you are this man's fellow disciple. We are disciples of Moses. 29. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could not do anything. He could do nothing. And to this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Verse 35. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked, tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Verse 40. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what? Are we blind too? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. You know, this passage is the longest of those one-to-one encounters that are recorded for us in the book of John by John, and it is filled with all kinds of interesting twists and turns. And it is a drama, if you will, in three scenes. It begins and ends with an encounter between Jesus and the man born blind, and in between this long discussion in which the Pharisees are trying to figure out what had happened and to somehow explain it away. So let us look at each of these three scenes in turn. And I invite you to try to put yourself in the story. Are we like the man born blind? Perhaps we have been burdened by some problems in our lives and we need a touch by the healing hand of Jesus. Or are we like the parents, fearful of what might happen to us if we enter into what God is doing? Or are we like the Pharisees, caught up in our own approach to God and religion or whatever system that we are operating in, and we don't even dare to see what God might be doing in our lives? And prayerfully, we might be able to answer that at the end of the message. In the first scene here, Jesus and his disciples are walking down the road and they come upon this man who was born blind. So a common question is posed to Jesus, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents? Now, most people believe that when someone had a severe affliction, there had to be some sin behind it, either of the parents or the person himself. Now, I find this strange, especially in this case. How could the reason for this man's blindness be sin on his part when he was born this way? Have you ever thought about that? But there was a strange theology in those days, although not widely held, that it was even possible for a baby to sin in the womb. Can you believe that? Or do you believe that? Now, I don't think Jesus believed that. So he turned the question around. It's not why this happened, why this man was born blind, and who is responsible. It's his sin or his parents. But what purpose there might be in it so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. And this is an interesting statement. Does Jesus mean that God caused this man to be born blind so that he could demonstrate his power later in his life? Now, I need to correct something here. Oftentimes, God gets the blame for everything. Now, people, including Christians today, ask, why does God allow this pandemic to occur? Why so many people died because of this pandemic? Why I lost my job? Why I suffer so much? Or why would a God of love permit helpless children to be handicapped? No, yes. Of course, God knows why babies are born with handicaps, and only God can turn those handicaps into something that will bring good to the people and glory to His name. But please, do not blame God for all the suffering. Because in the final analysis, all physical problems and suffering are the result of our fall in Adam at his disobedience, actually brought sin and death into the world. And as a result, today we are all living in a fallen world, not a perfect world. And if you insist of looking for someone to blame, blame it on our ancestor. Blame it on Adam and Eve for all the affliction, for all the hardship, for all the hurt, for all the difficulties and injuries. Blame it on Adam and Eve for all the handicaps and diseases as well, which have become part of life today and part of the human story. But praise be to God, it is in this arena of human needs and frailty and infirmity that God displays His work to save and to heal. And that's why Jesus said in verses 4 and 5, as long as it is day, we must do the work of Him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work, and while I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Not by implication, those who faithfully follow Jesus must also do the work of Him who sent Jesus. And that means that we are reminded that it is our task, it is our mission to be the light of the world, just as Jesus Christ Himself is the light of the world. And there is a sense of urgency in this. As long as it is day, we must do the work. So let us continue as the story unfolds. Jesus turned to the man, speak on the ground, make some mud with the saliva and put it on the man's eyes. And then He sent him down to the pool of Siloam to wash it off. Now it is very interesting to observe how Jesus heals in the gospel stories. It is never the same. It is never the same. Sometimes He merely speaks a word and someone is healed, and sometimes He touches them and they are healed. And in this case here, He makes some mud and places it on the man's eyes and sends him down to wash it off. You know, as a pastor, we would all wish that there were some simple formula that we can follow that Jesus always used so that we could somehow follow it and it works. But that is not the case. And I believe the method changes from one context to another, from one person to another, according to the needs of the individual at the particular moment, so that we are not limited to just one way or one method. And so it's not surprising to me that Jesus directs a man to go down to the pool of Siloam. But the only thing that surprises me is that this man had never had sight, and now he's been sent to go wash this mud off his eyes. And as it turns out, he had to pass through some rugged ground down to the Kidron Valley, where the pool most likely was. And so he will have to take quite a step of faith if he wants to be healed. You know, if it were me, I most probably would ask Jesus, is there an easier way? Can you just say, please, be healed? Oh, why must I go and clean up? No, I have to go up and down. I have to turn right and left, and I can't see. No, I have to walk down the steep step. No, my trip is so dangerous. I might fall down. But what does this blind man do? He ran and watched and came home seeing. And now at this moment in time, we don't know yet what this man knew about Jesus. In fact, we're going to see at the beginning, he knew very little about this Jesus and only His name. Only His name. But perhaps that name he heard was enough. Was enough to move him to walk to the pool to wash the mud off. He had lived in this darkness of his blindness was so long that he might say to himself, what could it hurt? Because I have nothing to lose. And so by faith and in faith, he walks to the pool, he washes the mud off, and lo and behold, he can see. What a great excitement. And I believe he heads home and runs into his neighbor, and they can't even believe that as well. In verses 8 and 9, and they start asking, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg And some claim that he was. Others say no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, wait a minute, I am the man. So what does everyone do, and what do they do when everyone does not know how to answer the question? They take him to the authorities. They take him to the teachers of the law, and surely the teachers of the law, the expert of the law, should be able to explain, should have an explanation for this. And so this launches us into the second sin. And this is where, in the second sin, the Pharisees run up against Jesus. The parents are faced with the dilemma caused by Jesus, and the man himself is challenged to do something about Jesus. So let's begin with the Pharisees' problem in verses 13 to 16. The Pharisees' problem, they hear the story and they are divided among themselves. You know why? The problem is they have two theological views that are totally contradicting one another in this event. First, they believe that anyone who breaks the Sabbath law cannot be a godly person, and Jesus healed this man on the Sabbath day. He has made this little mud ball, and he has sent this man to wash his eyes, and all of which falls into the category of things you cannot do on the Sabbath because they are defined as work. So Jesus cannot be a godly man. But on the other hand, they believe that only a godly person could perform as great a miracle as healing a man who was born blind, and Jesus had healed this man, so he must be a godly man. I do not know about you, but I could conclude that certainly the stronger argument here is that he healed somebody, and surely Jesus must be godly. But in the context of the Pharisees' discussion here, that is not the case. The voices seem to be winning out and are the ones that say, no, he broke the Sabbath, and so he's challenging our authority, he's challenging our whole religious system, he's challenging our way of life, and he cannot be a godly person. And so in their confused mind, they did not know what to do with Jesus. And the next step they took was to bring in the parents. In verses 19 to 23, surely there must be some other explanation than the miraculous healing by Jesus. Maybe this wasn't the right man, or maybe he wasn't really born blind. And maybe he speaks like the blind man and looks like him, but it is not him. Tell us about your son, they say. And in this scene, we see the parents' fear. Yes, he is our son and he was born blind. But that's as far as they would go to explain. We don't know what happened. You ask him, he's of age, and he will speak for himself. And if the parents were Chinese, they most probably say, this blind man's parents were caught up in fear of what might happen to them or what other people would think, and they would be kicked out of the synagogue, so they were fearful. Isn't that sad? Well, we have to ask ourselves, how many times does fear hold us back from obeying and following Jesus? And so here so far, the Pharisees have no explanation. The parents also have no answer. Let's now look at the third part of the second scene, which is the most dramatic and even most humorous scene in the Gospel of John. The Pharisees now have a serious problem. Although the parents are fearful, this man was born blind and a powerful witness. Look at verse 24. A second time they summon the man who had been blind. Give glory to God, they say. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Then they ask him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I've told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Did you want to become his disciples too? You know, he is brought back to them once again, and they increase much pressure on him. Give glory to God. And that is the equivalent of actually saying, tell the truth, but nothing but the truth, so help you God. And in fact, they even tell him what he needs to say. We know this man is a sinner. But this blind man responded, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. And his response most probably has stunned them. And in verse 26, Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And this next interchange coming up, really funny. The blind man said, verse 27, I have told you already, and you did not listen. Do you want to hear it again? Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to be disciples too? No, I guess this blind man must have pushed them too hard, and now they are angry, and they begin to hurl, insult the team, and then they pull out one of their trump cards. You know what is the trump card? The Moses card. You are this fellow disciple, we are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. Can you imagine this? This blind man who had been totally marginalized by everybody, and now is standing in front of the leaders who have incredible power in the society, and yet he looks at them into the eyes and say, now that's remarkable. You are supposed to be the one who knows this thing, and you don't know where he comes from. And yet he opened my eyes. Well, let me tell you this. Of course, he came from God. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. And if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And so in the face of this incredible logic, they say to this blind man in verse 34, you were steeped in sin above. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out of the temple. And that brings us to the final scene of the story. This man had his sight restored by Jesus, the one who healed him. When Jesus heard that he was kicked out of the synagogue, he went to see him and he asked him in verse 35, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked, tell me so that I may believe in him. And Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. This blind man's eyes, his heart was now open and hungry, and he knows that this Son of Man who healed him must have truth that his soul needs. And so he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. Now what can we learn from this miracles of Jesus healing of the blind man today? It is always very important to hear a sermon. At the end of a sermon, what's the application? What is God speaking to me? What is God wanting me to learn from this parable? One, are we like this man born blind? Burdened by some problems in our lives, and we need a touch from the healing hand of Jesus, not just physically alone, but also spiritually. Brothers and sisters, friends, sitting down here this morning, what are your problems today? Some of you may be facing financial problems. You may have problem paying for your children's education. You may have problem paying even your rent. Now, what are your problems today? Some of you may have problem in the family. Your children are not obedient, or your daughter is not coming home and living out with somebody. Or you have health problem. A lot of people have health problem, cancer, pneumonia, dengue, COVID. Now, this blind man here can teach us one of the greatest model is to be able to trust the Lord, you know, and also how to bear witness as a believer in Jesus Christ. And you know what he did? Simply by telling people what Jesus did for us, that's all. Even when you go through all these sufferings, this financial, family, children, health problem, you can tell people what God is doing in your midst. Once I was blind, but now I see. Or are we like the parents here, fearful of what might happen to us if we enter into what God is doing? We are unwilling to take the step of faith. We have all come so far to attend church. That's already very good. Some people say, Pastor John, I'm already better than those people who are watching online streaming. No, why? Because they're so fearful to come to the church, but I'm already in the church physical service. Do a little bit of the Christian thing, you know. Read the Bible, pray, maybe fast. Let people know that we are Christian or churchgoers, but at some point, we run against what we believe is the call of God. to obey Him that will launch us into the unknown. What will happen to me if I really radically follow you wherever you lead and do whatever you want? I won't survive. Pastor John, if I go into full-time ministry, you know how much the churches are paying the pastor? They're paying peanuts. No, this is not from Pastor John. There are many people who are actually saying this. No. Will it cost me something, my job? Will it cost me something in the way I live? Should I go for it? Can I really trust you? I know many of you still may not know Pastor John well. I received a call when I was very young, 20 years old. And already in 1982, I was full-time in the church. When I was called by God to enter into full-time ministry, I was already working in a stockbroker firm, Osman & Ng, now it's TA Security. I was working that time in the late 70s as a clerical staff, okay, not a remiser, okay. So my salary was about $800 to $1,000 a month. But when God called me to go into full-time, I spoke to the pastor, and pastor said, God is calling you, so you need to quit your job, go into full-time. You know, I truly trusted the Lord. I gave away not a very high salary position like some of you maybe. $800,000 is not much. Even those days in the 80s is really considered okay, I can survive. But when I went to full-time, the church paid me, in a business meeting, they voted $300 salary. That was my salary when I started working in Care Baptist Church, for your information, in 1982, January the 1st. But I trusted the Lord. Trusted the Lord, I trusted Him all the way, and the Lord have never failed me. He provided all the way. You know, when I was pastoring the church for so many years, for your information, a brother was asking, how long you've been pastoring this church? 40 years. When God spoke to me to build this church at 8.2 million, nobody here, I actually told the board, you know, none of you know, it's actually in the board minister. Pastor John actually asked the board to borrow 4.5 million bridging loan. You know, that was my faith, because I told the board, I'm really so tired of raising 10 million for Care Baptist Church, building 2.7 million for the church center. I don't think I can raise 8.2 million for this new church with nobody here. So I actually did my homework. 4.5 million bridging loan from my bank. And the board turned me down. And I still trusted the Lord. And the Lord provided 8.2 million to complete this building. You know, when we fully put our trust in the Lord, He will lead us and guide us through. So many times, just as the parents in this story were too afraid to defend their son's life, we are too scared to go to the places that the way of faith would take us. We just have to say to God, I trust you. Take the lead. I follow you. Are we like the Pharisees, responsible, caught up in our own approach to God and religion or whatever system we are operating in, and we don't dare even see what God might be doing? Are we responsible for blinding people to God's truth and giving a false representation of God, a hindrance, a stumbling block to others, missing out on an occasion to praise God and to rejoice like the blind man who had been healed because of minor and technical violation of Sabbath regulation? And for that, the story ends here. Jesus said, for judgment I've come into this world so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. So who was blind actually? The Pharisee. They had good physical vision, but they were blind spiritually. Blind to the healing touch of Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit to open their eyes to see the beauty of who Jesus is. And if you still remember, I've been preaching through the book of John here in this church here, Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the word of truth. And now, this morning, Jesus is the one who heals. Friends, do you know Him like this blind man? He placed his faith in Jesus and worshiped Him, and his life was totally, truly transformed inside and out, physically and spiritually. And he can declare too, one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Can you declare that to yourself this morning? Let's just pray. Just in case we have any here who have yet to come to know Jesus Christ, I challenge you this morning. You can open your eyes and see. You can open your ears to hear that God is speaking this morning. Jesus is speaking. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm the one who can go through and help you through your problems and struggle with difficulties. I'm the one who can heal you of your problems. Not just physically, but spiritually also. Thanks if you have never known this person, the name Jesus, the wonderful Savior. He's here, he's speaking to you this morning. If you have never put your faith, your trust in Jesus this morning, you want to know him, you want to accept him into your life, you, wherever you are seated, while all heads are bowed, all eyes are closed, just raise your hand high so that I can pray for you this morning. If you want to believe in Jesus, the one who can heal you of your problems and your, whether physically or spiritually, this morning, you just want to be, to receive him, or you just want the pastor to pray for you this morning, you just raise your hand high and I just want to say a prayer for you. Is there anyone who want to receive Jesus this morning, to accept him as your Lord and Savior? Is there anyone who have yet to come to know Jesus this morning? This is the moment God is speaking. You want to receive him, just raise your hand high and I want to pray for you. Is there anyone? Or is it that everyone here seated down here, you are all believers in Jesus, you know Jesus Christ? I want to challenge you. Trust in God and put your faith in him to lead you sometimes to a journey that is unknown, a journey that is uncertain. Sometimes it takes faith to move. And God is speaking to you. You say to God, I'm lacking in faith to do what you call me to do. I'm lacking in faith to answer the call that you have called me to do. And this morning, I want to ask that God, you strengthen my faith. Help me to increase that faith in my life. I just want to pray for you this morning. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. Thank you because we know that God, you gave us your son Jesus, who heals us of our physical problems as well as spiritual problems. And you are here this morning to minister and to speak to us. Father, I pray for many here this morning who are lacking in faith to trust in you, to move on to greater things you have in store for them, to expect great things from you and to attempt great things for you. Oh Lord, may you help them strengthen the faith to make that decision, whether it's to go full-time, whether it's to do something that, Lord, that you want them to do, that may involve giving up their career. Lord, you speak to them and help them to truly trust you to lead and to guide them. For we know that, Lord, when you call us, you equip. For you call us, you will lead, you will direct. And for that, Lord, we thank you because we believe in you. Thank you for all that you have provided for our physical need. Thank you for all that, Lord, that you have been to us throughout this pandemic. You have watched over us. Those who have contracted COVID, we have recovered. Those who have not, we thank you. Truly, God, you are a great God, a good God. Thank you for your word this morning in Jesus.